real patriot wants other people also to be democratic, to develop, wants...
Hi, my name's Rick Serrano from Catskill, New York. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre.
Here are the feature programs coming up on WGXC 90.7 FM on Wednesday.
You either shut up or get cut out. They don't want to hear about it. Tony Inches on the reel to reel. And the radio is in the hands of such a lot of fools trying to anesthetize the way that you feel. Radio is the sound salvation.
What's going on, everybody? It's Slay Diddy, a.k.a. Professor Slay, a.k.a. Mr. WGXC, and you are listening to WGXC Acre 90.7 FM and WGXC.org. Listen in, y'all.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Sarah and Sam of New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
Radio broadcast, this I believe.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Jeffrey Wilson reports in the Poughkeepsie Journal that the Hudson Valley Democrats in Congress are now united in support of an impeachment inquiry of the president. Representative Sean Patrick Maloney, who represents the 18th District in the Southern Hudson Valley, and Representative Antonio Delgado both announced September 24th that they were joining Representative Paul Tonko and almost 200 other Democrats supporting impeachment. Maloney said he is, quote, prepared to pursue an impeachment inquiry. I have had a high bar for putting the country through an impeachment inquiry, especially so close to an election, but these allegations go to the heart of the oath I took. There comes a time to put your country first, unquote. Delgado and Maloney committed publicly to impeachment just hours before House Speaker Nancy Pelosi also called for an official impeachment inquiry. New York Democrat Representative Joe Morrell, who represents Rochester, also joined the list of those backing impeachment, which grew to over 200 by the end of the day. The U.S. Senate voted unanimously September 24th for a non-binding resolution calling for the whistleblower complaint related to President Trump's communications with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to be released to the House and Senate Intelligence Committees. Trump admits to asking about Ukraine investigating the son of Democrat Joe Biden, and was reportedly threatening to withhold Senate-approved funding for the country. House Democrats are expected to vote to condemn the president's actions with Ukraine in the September 25th vote. Read more about this story in the Poughkeepsie Journal.
On Twitter, Delgado wrote, and I quote, "The first responsibility of the president of the United States is to keep our country safe, but it has become clear that our president has placed his personal interest above the national security of our nation. I believe articles of impeachment are warranted," end quote. National Republican Congressional Committee spokesperson Michael McAdams responded to Delgado's announcement saying, and I quote, "In a district President Trump won by more than 6 points, Antonio Delgado's decision to pursue impeachment will be a political death sentence, end quote. Heather Kovar is reporting for WRGB-TV. A Columbia County woman attending a birthday party over the weekend was attacked by a rabid gray fox. The incident occurred September 21st at the Rojan Boat Club near Germantown. Witnesses say the fox came out of the woods and then bit and scratched Sue Hoyland. Hoyland's friends spoke to CBS on her behalf, saying the incident was, and I quote, pure panic, end quote. The Columbia County Health Department has confirmed the fox tested positive for rabies. Edward Coons, Director of Environmental Health Services for the Columbia County Health Department, said this was not the first fox to test positive for rabies in the county. Coons said, and I quote, the concern is we started out 2019 with a heavy burden of raccoon rabies. This continued into late spring and early summer, end quote. Then last month, a gray fox tested positive after it attacked a woman in Hudson. Coons is advising pet owners to keep dogs and cats up to date on their shots. Anyone who comes into contact with a wild animal is asked to contact the health department at 518-828-3358. And you can read the full story at cbs6albany.com.
Jeanette Wolfberg reports in the Columbia paper that Hudson Housing Authority Board of Commissioners met on September 11th and selected Randall Martin as chair, Marie Ball, vice chair, and Peggy Pollenberg, treasurer for the 2019-2020 year. The HHH board selected Randall Martin to be the chair. He's a local videographer. He moves up from vice chair, replacing Alan Weaver. Ball is a partner at the Look Apparel store in Hudson and joined the board last November. Pollenberg will start a second year as treasurer. The HHA administers the 135-unit income-restricted Bliss apartments and federal Section 8 vouchers housing elsewhere in Hudson. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper.
Melanie Lekosevic is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Governor Andrew Cuomo, September 20th, announced a statewide effort to crack down on underage drinking during the month of October. Law enforcement agencies will work with the State Liquor Authority and the State Department of Motor Vehicles to conduct underage drinking checks at locations suspected of selling alcohol to minors, including bars, restaurants, liquor stores, and grocery stores. Hudson Police Chief L. Edward Moore said his department works with state authorities to conduct these investigations. He said, and I quote, we do routine checks with local retail stores that sell beer, and we use underage people. We find more often than not that our stores are in compliance, end quote. Coxsackie Police Chief Sam Minto said his department works side by side with state police to conduct sweeps. Minto said, and I quote, we work in conjunction with the state police and they initiate these sweeps. They are very good about contacting local agencies and taking input regarding problematic spots in the community, end quote. He said the last violation for selling alcohol to underage customers in Coxsackie was about 2 years ago. Chatham Police Chief Peter Volkman, founder of the addiction recovery organization Chatham Cares For You, said he supports the state's initiative. He said, and I quote, in Chatham, our retailers have been pretty good. I am pretty confident that any type of initiative will find that our retailers are checking IDs. The initiative of doing checks and enforcing and regulating has helped keep everyone on their toes. It keeps people honest, end quote. According to the State Office of Alcoholism and Substance Abuse Services, drinking alcohol before age 21 can interfere with brain development, causing learning difficulties well into the early 20s. Early alcohol use is also associated with poor grades, absenteeism, and higher school dropout rates, according to the state agency. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com.
Amanda Purcell reports in Columbia Green Media that the Hudson Development Corporation is broke and trying to sublease their space near the Hudson waterfront. Quote, it's not being used and we're broke, so if it has to be approved by the council, that could be 2 to 3 months, unquote, said Steve Dunn, after learning the Hudson Common Council would have to approve any deal. The HDC has office space on the second floor of First North Front Street, above the Columbia County Chamber of Commerce. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
MidHudsonNews.com is reporting the opening of the UN General Assembly this week means big business for New York Stewart International Airport. The Orange County Transport Hub is used by many foreign leaders to park their official government aircraft. The annual event means additional aircraft landing and parking fees and fuel charges. Planes from Qatar and Spain were among the dozen or so planes on the tarmac September 23rd. Stewart is chosen for several reasons, including security, lack of congestion, and cheaper cost than New York metropolitan airports. The planes are handled at Stewart by Signature Air and Atlantic Aviation. Read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com.
William J. Kemble reports in the Daily Freeman that the Public Access Northern Dutchess Area, or PANDA Group, is being asked by its Rhinebeck landlord to move, putting the organization in jeopardy. PANDA chairperson Eric Rybeck also complained that as consumers cut cords on cable TV, funding for public access television dries up. Quote, one of the risks is that as people sign off of cable, that revenue is going to go down, unquote, he said. The group is paid to record and broadcast board meetings in the town and village of Rhinebeck, the town and village of Red Hook, and the village of Tivoli. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Diane Valden is reporting for the Columbia paper on the results of the Relief Janssen Library's Community Conversation Initiative. The project began in April with a series of public conversations held at various locations in the community. A total of 54 people, residents of Ankrum, Copec, and Hillsdale, participated. All but four of the participants were over the age of 50. The library took on the initiative to become more familiar with the community it serves. The conversations reveal that people want a sense of connection and community spirit. Their concerns focused on connections, communications, and economic challenges. Obstacles to connecting with others in the community include the rural character of the place, differences between long-time versus new residents, and weekenders versus full-time residents. When asked about communications, participants said they are unaware what is going on or where to get information. Economic challenges include a lack of good-paying jobs, skills to fill jobs, a lack of affordable housing, and a lack of public transportation. More specific concerns included the impact of short-term rentals on the housing market and the sense of community and the lack of broadband access. What would make a difference? According to the findings, residents would like more places and events for diverse groups to come together. Development of a local newsletter or a website listing services and events for the Rojan area, vocational training to help students develop job skills, and business development that caters to changing demographics such as seniors and second homeowners. Conversation participants said they do not trust their town board to act on issues of concern, but they do have faith in the Hillsdale Safe at Home Committee, Ankrumdale Neighbors Helping Neighbors, the Copec Grange, and Library. The findings will be used to develop the library's five-year strategic plan. And you can read the full story in the Columbia paper. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, sunny with a high near 74 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low of around 54. And on Thursday, a slight chance of showers, partly sunny with a high near 75 degrees. And Thursday night, mostly clear with a low of around 49 degrees. So there you have your weather update brought to you by WGXC 90.7 FM. Radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Listen out for these live broadcasts and extra web streams on the WGXC program schedule during the coming week. On Thursday, September 26th, WGXC Live will carry a live web stream of Bobby Previtt's Blueprints performing at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. There should be a live web stream at WGXC.org around 9 p.m. Click on Listen Now at the top of the page and scroll down to find the web stream. Visit theavalonlounge.com for more information. On Friday, September 27th, WGXC Live will broadcast the live web stream from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, where the band Ace of Wands and Carolyn Morosi will perform. The show will air on 90.7 FM from 9 to 10 p.m., then continue online at WGXC.org. Click on Listen Now at the top of the page and scroll down to find the web stream. Visit theavalonlounge.com for more information. On Saturday, September 28th, WGXC Live will broadcast the live web stream from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, where the band Camp St. Helene will perform. Wesley Harper opens the show and DJ Matt Wagner performs later. There should be a live web stream at WGXC.org around 9 p.m. Click on Listen Now at the top of the page and scroll down to find the web stream. The show will air on 90.7 FM until 10 p.m., then continue online until 2 a.m. at WGXC.org. Visit theavalonlounge.com for more information. Be sure to check our program schedule for new listings of public events, community meetings, and other dedicated web streams, which may not have been posted at the time this announcement was recorded. You can also download the free Wavefarm app to listen on your phone or iDevice, or use it to become a broadcast partner with WGXC.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at WGXC.org, including some of these events.
On Wednesday, September 25th, this month's Hudson Area Library General Reading Book Group book is Where the Crawdads Sing by Delia Owens. The group covers fiction and nonfiction and is facilitated by longtime member of the Friends of the Hudson Area Library, Sharon Getty. Books for the group are all available for borrowing through the Mid-Hudson Library System, meeting held from 5 to 6 p.m. at the Hudson Area Library. Workshop meeting of the Green County Legislator will be held starting at 6 p.m. in the caucus room. On Thursday, September 26th, taught by author, artist, educator, and social activist Maureen McNeil. This class, in collaboration with the City of Hudson Senior Center and the Hudson Area Library, will focus on discovering the power of the inner self through the practice of daily writing. Registration is limited at programs at hudsonarealibrary.org and is on a first-come, first-served basis. Bobby Previtt leads a conceptual performance with webcasts at WGXC.org and Wayfarm.org. Previtt has invited some of his favorite musicians in the Hudson Valley and beyond to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill for these inaugural concerts of his newest project, Blueprints, starting at 9 p.m. The ensemble will play, distort, improvise around, and sometimes ignore these fragments. Using hand signals, body movements, and the occasional odd glare, Previtt conducts the musicians through the maze, taking a different path every night. On Friday, September 27th, the First Reformed Church of Catskill on Main Street will be holding their Fall Rummage Sale on Friday, September 27th from 9 to 5 and Saturday, September 28th from 9 to 1. The Catskill Farmers Market runs from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Catskill Community Center on Main Street. Learn to safely pickle and keep food fresh up to 18 months using a boil water canner. This is a hands-on class where participants will end up preparing a pickled product to take home. The course will be held at the Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene Counties Extension Education Center on Route 66 in Hudson from 6 to 8 p.m. Register at ccecolumbiagreen.org or call 518-622-9820, extension 100. Spirit Family Reunion and Joanna Sternberg perform at BSP Kingston starting at 8 p.m. Independent artist and musician of guitar and percussion Lee performs at the Hudson Underground on Warren Street at 8 p.m. NRBQ performs at the Falcon on Route 9W in Marlboro starting at 8 p.m. Ace of Wands and Carolyn Morosi perform at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill beginning at 9 p.m. with live web stream on WGXC.org. The Half Moon on South Front Street in Hudson hosts Your Vote, Your Voice, with voter registration on the spot and ice cream party with mostly girls DJ sets. All proceeds go towards the Kamal Johnson campaign for mayor starting at 9 p.m.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Wendy Schmaltz of Claverick, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Next, we have these reports.
New York is one of 14 states that has adopted California's tough auto emission standards, and now it's fighting to keep that right. When the Trump administration announced last week that it will revoke California's longstanding waiver allowing it to set tighter emission and fuel efficiency standards for cars and trucks, New York was one of 24 states that quickly moved to challenge that change in court. The American Lung Association gives 10 New York counties a failing grade for high ozone days, including some of the state's most densely populated areas. The association's Paul Billings says revoking California's waiver will be bad for New Yorkers' health and for the planet.
New York has partnered with California for decades on more protective tailpipe standards. This is a big step in the wrong direction that will undermine New York's efforts to protect air quality and fight climate change.
The administration argues that tougher standards will make cars more expensive and encourage people to drive older, dirtier cars. But Billings notes that the tougher standards are not only better for the environment, they also make cars more efficient, saving money on fuel. He says if the administration gets its way, consumers will be the big losers.
So we're going to have vehicles that create more greenhouse gas pollution, don't go as far on a tank of gas, and that will mean that more money comes out of a family's pockets for their monthly transportation costs.
California's standard would require cars to get 50 miles to the gallon by 2025. The administration wants to freeze the standard at 37 miles per gallon nationwide. For New York News Connection, I'm Andrea Sears.
Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 election process from the studios of KHOI in the heart of Iowa.
I tried to be a member of Congress. It didn't work out.
I'd love to be a governor.
There were lots of gentle laughs during the Business Insider Republican primary debate last night between former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld and former Illinois Congressman Joe Walsh. It wasn't sponsored by the Republican National Committee, and neither President Donald Trump nor former South Carolina Representative Mark Sanford participated. Sanford because of scheduling conflicts, and Trump because he said he won't debate his Republican challengers. But more debate news dropped than just the Walsh-Weld showdown. Hawaii Representative Tulsi Gabbard qualified for the October Democratic debate yesterday, after a Monmouth University New Hampshire poll had her at 2%. Back to last night's Republican debate, though, there was lots of talk about President Trump. Also yesterday, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
Us raise the bar and better ourselves. We could be so good.
if we work together.
This is At The Row. You're listening to WGSC 9.7 FM, 8 Rare, Pastor Austin. Radio is the great thing ever.
Here are the feature programs coming up on WGXC 90.7 FM on Wednesday, September 25th, 2019. At 9 a.m., tune in to the WGXC Morning Show, hosted by Tom Rowe. Tom will bring you the local news, interviews with community leaders and personalities, reports on cultural issues, and a rundown of public meetings and local and regional events with weather updates and more. And during the second hour, Tom will speak by phone with Alan Kuhn about the upcoming Spotty Dog Occasional International Short Film Festival and the newly extended deadline for entries. To see the full WGXC programming schedule, make a one-time donation, or become a sustaining donor, visit our website, wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Catherine Bauer of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Wednesday, September the 25th, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. On today's rundown, Speaker Pelosi calls for an impeachment inquiry of President Trump and cleaners rally for new contracts. Topping our news, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced Tuesday the need for an impeachment inquiry of Trump. The New York Post reports that move comes as it surfaced that other top Democrats have been meeting privately to discuss the creation of a select committee for impeachment. That's according to reports. Pelosi said this is something serious in a class of its own, a discussion about conduct of the President of the U.S. That to an audience of the Atlantic Festival in Washington, D.C. As soon as we have the facts, Pelosi said, we are ready. Office cleaners in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh negotiating the new contracts that could set the stage for workers up and down the East Coast.
Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney will join more than 1,000 workers tomorrow as building cleaners in Philadelphia rally for a new contract. In both Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, representatives of large building owners and contractors are negotiating new agreements with 5,000 members of Local 32BJ SEIU. Vincent Jones is a building cleaner working at Jefferson Tower in Philadelphia. He says employers have proposed dramatic cuts to workers' benefits despite the biggest real estate boom in decades.
I've been a union member and an employee about 20 years now, and I've seen it go from bad to good. And we just want to be compensated fairly for the work we've done and going to continue to do.
The union says what happens in Pennsylvania could impact more than 75,000 workers on the East Coast bargaining for contracts this year. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
Those current contracts for Philadelphia and Pittsburgh building cleaners expire in October. And as Oregon teachers and committees celebrate the Student Success Act, the first phase is how funding will be doled out. It's now beginning. Eric Tegedoff has our report.
The bill's passage marked a major milestone for education, which has seen disinvestment since the 1990 ballot measure limited the dollars available. For school districts to receive funding, they'll have to engage with local communities on what they need. Lisa Fragola is a second grade teacher and Eugene Education Association member. She says that's fitting because community members helped push this law over the top with Red for Ed rallies in May, teacher walkouts that happened less than a week before legislators passed the Student Success Act.
if you went to any of those places where teachers were taking action for investment in public education, you would have found many parents, many children, people from the community who stood up with us.
Officials there are looking for input on a number of issues, including mental health services and what kind of courses students want. This is PNS. In an unprecedented statewide video conference yesterday, Dan Hyman reports the Speaker of the House of Delegates there, Roger Hanshaw, took questions from West Virginia school kids about climate change, but Dan reports at no time did he say climate change is a real problem or even use the phrase.
Hanshaw, a Clay County Republican, makes his living as a lawyer for natural gas companies. When asked for the state's most serious environmental issue, Hanshaw, a trained chemist, cited something he admitted was unexpected, the need for trace minerals to make electronics and batteries.
So the chemistry of electronic devices and how do we power batteries? We depend on, to a large extent, something called rare earth metals.
The other delegate in the video conference, Morgantown Democrat Evan Hansen, said the most serious issues were water pollution and climate change. Hanshaw seemed somewhat open to a market trading carbon credits, saying he preferred that to a simple carbon tax. He also spoke favorably about a bill Hansen has sponsored to allow companies to get electricity from solar arrays built on former coal mines. But the closest the speaker came to saying climate change is a real global crisis came when pointing out that the state's economy is still dependent on fossil fuels. Hanshaw said the local tax picture is part of what leaves West Virginia tied to coal and gas.
They fund the public school systems in many of our counties. So because we're dealing with or talking about a problem that's global in nature, the kinds of barriers to its solution are so different everywhere in the world, they all collectively converge to make the problem hard to solve in total.
The most recent state revenue numbers came in $50 million short of last year's. Dan Hyman reporting for the Public News Service.
Finally, our Mary Sherman reports that Ohio-based restaurateur Jeff Ruby has wined and dined celebrities and dignitaries alike, but food is not his only passion. He is also committed to helping vulnerable young people.
Ruby grew up without a father in his life and says he was on the wrong track until a football coach stepped up to provide him with guidance and support. He believes just one positive connection in a kid's life can change their trajectory.
This coach took me under, and all of a sudden I had someone that I wanted to be like. I wanted to impress. I wanted to be proud of. I know what that coach did to change my life. So I've been changing other kids' lives ever since.
He's sharing his story as a keynote speaker at the Public Children's Services Association of Ohio's 2019 conference.
Hundreds of people involved in child protection will be on hand at the conference and will discuss strategies to improve practices and better support children's services workers. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we are online at publicnewsservice.org.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. On September 26th, the Save Curryville activist group says it will present its appeal against the Copaig Zoning Board of Appeals at that board's September meeting. The group's main argument is against Code Enforcement Officer Lee Himes' July 1st decision that GRJH's special use permit for its proposed gas station had not expired. Save Curryville also believes the ZBA should rescind its negative declaration pursuant to SEAKER. GRJH wants to put a gas station and convenience store on a 1.7-acre parcel at the intersection of Route 7 and Route 23. Currently, the public comment period on the project is still open before the Copaig Planning Board. With the next meeting, October 3rd, the Copaig Zoning Board of Appeals meets at 7 p.m. September 26th at the Copaig Town Hall. Emil Munson reports in the Albany Times-Union that New York Senator and Minority Leader Chuck Schumer sent a strongly worded letter to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell on September 23rd. Schumer did not use the word impeachment, but did call for an investigation into President Donald Trump's actions toward Ukraine. Trump admitted September 22nd that he asked a Ukrainian leader to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden. Quote, "The Republican Senate's see no evil, hear no evil attitude towards such a serious national security concern is unacceptable and must change," unquote, Schumer wrote in the letter. Read more about this story in the Albany Times-Union. Sarah Trafton reports for Columbia Green Media that Greene County Industrial Development Agency Executive Director Renee Van Schack said September 23rd that the IDA is talking with a company about putting a, quote, higher quality hotel, unquote, on Route 23A near Exit 21 of the New York State Thruway. The IDA tore down the former Quality Inn there earlier this year. Van Schack would not reveal the name of the hotel chain or developer. By comparison, quote, the Quality Inn was considered economy class, unquote, Van Schack said. Quote, upper mid-class would be a Hampton Inn, for example, unquote. And he claims the new hotel will not just be better, but also bigger, with 85 to 100 rooms. Catskill Town Supervisor Doreen Davis said she is excited about a hotel opening in her town. Quote, not only does it encourage tourist visitors, but also business travelers who will stop and contribute to our economy. A hotel property would make use of our new sewer infrastructure. The more utilization by New Yorkers, the more costs are shared, unquote, she said. Read more about this at HudsonValley360.com. Mid-Hudson News reports that Metro North Railroad President Catherine Rinaldi said September 23rd that full positive train control is currently in use between Croton Harmon and Poughkeepsie. Positive train control is a system for improving railway safety. The 2013 Metro North derailment killed four people after the engineer headed into a curve at excessive speed, something the PTC system is designed to prevent. Since then, newspapers have run a story annually about how implementation of the system has been delayed. Now, 6 years later, it is installed below Poughkeepsie. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News. This has been the WGXC News Update. Go to the newsroom at wavefarm.org for more information about these stories, for recordings of local town meetings, and an exhaustive list of community events at wavefarm.org and wgxc.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather. It is day three of the autumn checklist. For some, this is the best time to trim trees and bushes. Planting is still going on. Allow enough time to properly plant carrots, garlic, potatoes, and others. Time to check safety devices. Make sure some pumps are operational, exhaust fans work and flow freely. Ensure smoke detectors in the main target rooms, living room, bedroom, kitchen. Make sure you got one in all of these spaces. A few more in other rooms are not going to hurt at all. Carbon monoxide detectors are also very important. Don't worry about placing them near the floor. Carbon monoxide mixes in the air like everything else. These are exceedingly important if you use kerosene or propane heaters inside your home. If obtaining one of these locally is prohibitively expensive, online merchants offer a wide variety of options, especially on price. This is something that could very well save your life. Okay, now for the standard weather. Today is looking pleasant and on the cool side. This morning starts in the 50s with some patchy fog. Temps will rise steadily to a sunny 75 degrees by 4 p.m. Overnight temps drop back to the mid-50s and then bounce back up into the mid-70s tomorrow afternoon. Spots of rain will move into the area by noon and stay until dark. Over on the river, high tide will be at 12:33 p.m. today and low tides will be at 6:58 a.m. and at 7:04 p.m. Water temperature will be 71 degrees. Looking way up, we see even though we are in a deep solar minimum, a couple sunspots showing a magnetic signature from the next solar cycle are being seen. As the solar cycle picks up over the course of several years, certain radio communications will increase in range and high-altitude flyers will experience less cosmic ray-based radiation. Current solar wind speed is picking up at 461 kilometers per second at 4.3 protons per milliliter. This has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Hi, this is Linda Tripp, 4-H educator for Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene Counties. Visit the Catterskill Gallery at Columbia Greene Community College in October to view the 4-H art exhibit showcasing block prints from over 75 4-H club members. Join us for the opening reception on Thursday, October 10th from 5 to 7 p.m. Cornell Cooperative Extension provides equal program and employment opportunities.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Judy Pfaff of Tivoli, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
And now joined by Susan Kane, the founder and president of Unbridled, which opens in Coxsackie on Thursday.
It sure does, Tom. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me and learn a bit about Unbridled. I'm delighted to share with your audience that we are officially opening with a ribbon cutting on Thursday, September 26th, between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. It will be orchestrated by the Greene County Chamber of Commerce, and we are delighted to be part of the community and welcome our new neighbors and friends to come and meet and greet the horses and learn what Unbridled is all about.
Yeah, well, tell us, what does Unbridled try to do?
Well, Unbridled Thoroughbred Foundation began in 2004, and I'll back that up with the fact that I have spent the whole of my life with horses. First, with show jumping and then owning thoroughbreds as racehorses, breeding them for the New York Breeding Program. And in 2011, I really had my rose-colored glasses shattered when I learned how many thoroughbreds were breaking down on the racetrack and how many were then being shipped off to slaughter in Canada and Mexico. And at that point, I stopped breeding thoroughbreds because I didn't feel I could be the change that I felt the horses needed to see. And in my heart of hearts, I'm a horse lover who mixed up loving horses with the horse business. And at that time, I really amplified the advocacy work that I do today to be a voice for horses, to share what is really going on with the abuse of drugging on the racetrack, and the fact that these horses who give their heart and soul to everything that we ask are being quietly shipped across borders to Canada and Mexico to slaughterhouses where they are then butchered for human consumption. And it's really an ill in this country that doesn't need to exist. I address that from a moral issue in that we individuate these horses by naming them. We unilaterally choose to bring them into the world. We teach them to trust. We train them. We hope on them. We celebrate them. And then when they're no longer of service to us, it's as if they no longer exist. So that is the viewpoint that I take as to why horses should not be slaughtered. But then for those who don't necessarily share that or have the hands-on experience with horses, what is equally egregious is that horses in America are regularly administered upwards of 300 drugs that are approved by the FDA, the USDA, for the health and maintenance of horses, those being painkillers, dewormers, bronchodilators, muscle relaxers. And those same drugs are banned in the human food chain. They're banned for human consumption. And our American horses are crossing the borders specifically to be processed for human consumption. So our country is knowingly, essentially putting toxic meat out into the world. So it's a multifold issue. We try to address it from all sides. As I said, I have a background with horses the whole of my life. I don't have an issue with working horses, competing with horses, doing all sorts of activities and endeavors with horses. But as an organization, we want to be a voice for horses so they're not abused during those activities and that by all means they don't meet an unspeakable end across borders.
Do you have an opinion? I guess there have been a couple of... I'm not a horse expert, but I think I've read about a couple of horses that were racing this year have died in races or
there's been, I guess there's the beginnings of talk about banning thoroughbred racing is sort of bubbling up in the culture. Do you have an opinion on that?
It is, and it's a very polarizing topic, and it really has put a lot of people at odds with one another, and they're devolving to ad hominem attacks on those who are positing different ideas. What's going on in thoroughbred racing is not working. We have far too many deaths on the racetracks, far too many deaths at training centers, and as I mentioned, far too many thoroughbreds shipping to slaughter. To give you some context with the numbers, each year approximately 20,000 live thoroughbred foals are born, and they're registered by the Jockey Club, which is the North American registrar for all thoroughbreds. So we have an accurate database of how many thoroughbreds are coming into this world. It is estimated by the USDA that approximately 10,000 to 12,000 thoroughbreds ship across our borders to slaughter in Canada and Mexico every year. So based on those numbers, you're losing about half of the foal crop each year. And bear in mind, these horses are not bred, raised, or regulated for human consumption. Then we have at the racetrack approximately 1,000 thoroughbreds a year are dying on the track. Those are horses that we know of who are actually euthanized on the racetrack. It doesn't account for horses at training centers. There's about twice as many training centers as racetracks. And we don't have accurate statistics on that because the Jockey Club does not mandate death reporting. And I believe that they don't mandate it because they don't want those numbers out there because they're astronomical. And when most people look at thoroughbreds and the sport of kings, they really see the glamorous side of it, the beauty of the athlete. People who go to the races at Saratoga, they're not going there to support animal abuse, which is what is posited by a lot of the animal rights advocates. They're going to enjoy, you know, the magnificence of those beings. They're not educated as to what's going on in the ugly underbelly, which is what Unbridled deals with a lot, or the fact that, you know, in the middle, there are horses across this country every day, thoroughbreds, who live happy lives. They are safe, they're celebrated, and they're maybe engaged in second careers as show horses or jumping horses or pleasure horses. So it's a very complex issue. And what I like to do through Unbridled is really try to bring forth some common sense solutions that are pragmatic with where we are at now. Unbridled is supported by individual donors who are completely anti-racing, and we have supporters who are deeply entrenched in racing. So we're a little bit different than most organizations. My position is for the horse. At any stage of engagement in a competitive sport or an activity, I would like to see and advocate for the autonomy, the sentience, the well-being of that horse being considered first and foremost. I believe that morally that is our obligation as stewards of horses. And one of the ways that I try to share with people who horses are is by getting them to our sanctuary, getting them hands-on with horses to discover for themselves, you know, who are horses? You know, the horses at the racetrack are incredible. The ones on TV at the Kentucky Derby are magnificent, but they're at such a distance from us. We're not, you know, we don't have that tactile sensation of feeling, you know, their heart beating in our hand or looking into their big brown eyes. So as we open Unbridled in Coxsackie, visitors will meet thoroughbreds who have earned millions of dollars. They've produced babies who have sold at Saratoga and other sales in Kentucky for millions of dollars. And each of the thoroughbreds that we have were literally thrown away in slaughter yards. They were redeemed within hours of shipping across our borders. And I believe in the thoroughbred industry. It's not a matter of money. There's plenty of money in the industry. It's a matter of morality and choices. And the choices that we make today will change the world for the future of thoroughbreds, or the status quo will remain. But until the long-term consequences of bringing a horse into this world are front-loaded, we're going to be dealing with the same problems. Most people don't know that a horse lives for 30 or 35 years, and their career at the racetrack, it usually spans only 2, 3, or 4 years at the most.
So what does Unbridled do? Do you get horses that are going to be slaughtered and rescue them, or what does the organization do?
We do. The organization redeems horses directly from slaughter yards, horses who are in holding pens waiting to go to slaughter, and we also bring horses into our organization before they ever get to that point. We try to help horses who are coming off of breeding farms, who are no longer productive, who are at high risk of slaughter, horses coming directly off of the racetrack that don't have a place to go to. When a trainer and an owner have a horse at the racetrack or even a broodmare at the breeding farm, the thoroughbred racing industry is a business, and that horse is primarily viewed as a commodity. And if he or she is not producing and not in a position to generate income, that horse becomes an expense. And the idea is to get rid of that horse off the books as soon as possible. So we try to continually back up to the point that we save that horse in the most economical way for us as stewards of a not-for-profit, and also where it's the least insult emotionally and physically to a horse. When we pick up horses from the slaughter yards, they've been to hell and back. You know, they've been taken out of everything that they know on a farm. They're dropped in with a group of horses they don't know in large holding pens, and there's fighting for water and food and just basic survival skills. And the horses come out beat up, skinny, often sick, and it takes a lot to bring them back to health and wholeness. Whereas if we can network with breeding farms and trainers, we get those horses sooner. So we try to bring those horses in and place those horses into adoptive homes. But the real issue here is that adoption will never solve this problem. It's taking care of an overflow of horses. Slaughter begins in the breeding shed, and we need to slow the number of horses bred to a sustainable number if, in fact, we are going to consider who they are morally over the course of their lifespan.
Because I'm guessing if you're breeding horses, you breed a lot to try to get a winner out of a lot of different horses so that there's way more horses than there are racing slots, I guess.
Well, what is happening is that thousands are being bred for a...
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
Is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Acra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
I'm a rogue.